This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Show of the work week. It's more of a typical week, but we've got some major events in these next few days. Not only do we have the mass chaos of the first rounds in the NHL and the Stanley Cup postseason, as I explained to a friend of mine who asked me and the Hubs to go out to lunch on Sunday. I'm sorry, it's the first weekend of the playoffs and there are 16 games. From Friday to Sunday. Yeah, unfortunately, there's no time to do much else besides watch basketball and hockey right now. Not that I'm complaining, but it is total craziness in these first couple weeks of the postseason as they get through just the first rounds. I was actually looking at the schedule. I will already be in Hawaii as these first rounds in the NBA are getting to like game five and game six. They stretch it out so much. But it's all right. That's fine. I won't miss a whole lot while I'm gone and be back and be refreshed and ready to talk about the second month of the NBA playoffs.
Game two.
The conference semifinals. I've tried to tell producer Jay that I don't plan on looking at anything sports related while I'm gone. Because I really don't want to. I really want to completely get away. I'm not even sure I'll look at social media much. I think the most that we're going to do on our phones is to send, well, it's Mother's Day while we're gone, so we will do video calls with our moms, but is essentially send a daily group of photos to our family group chats, and that's pretty much it. I don't know that I'll be, I don't want to. I just want to get away. I don't want to think, want to get away. We're not flying Southwest. I just want to not have to think about sports and work. And as much as people love sports and I grew up loving sports, played them, watched them, all that jazz, when they've been work for 25 years, there's no way to watch them without it feeling like work. It just, it doesn't happen anymore.
I think it's nice of you to even commit to sending photos daily to your family and friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're so excited.
I would be off the phone
completely. Well, see, probably if we had left right after the wedding, maybe it would have been more like that. When we were gone for a couple of days on our mini moon in Lake Conroe, even it was the week that we got married. We still love to share with our families what we're doing, but that's my family. I'm not sure it's Bob's family as much, but for instance, my brother and his family were in Utah doing the Big Five national parks, mm-hmm. the Arches, all that jazz over the last 10 days. And every single day they sent us photos back of what they were up to. And we all love it. We enjoy it. And we have text messages bouncing back and forth all over the United States from Utah to Texas to New Jersey.
That's cool.
So, yeah, it was great. That's just what we do. When we were in Niagara Falls last week, we were also sending photos. Or when we went to the Buffalo Naval Yard because my family loves that kind of stuff. Anyway, so that's just how we do it. It's not like I'm going to be spending the entire time on the phone. I mean, that's not happening. Just handful of photos.
My little sister just went to Peru yesterday. I already got a picture of her the second she landed from the plane.
Oh, okay.
I'm here. Here's Peru.
Yay.
Oh, great. Ooh. I wish I was there.
Does your little sister ever stay in the United States?
She travels so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, she's a teacher now, so she is off this spring break the whole week. And then she is off in the summer months. And she just, like, finds her teacher friends, and they go on these trips. She's always somewhere. If she is off for more than, like, 3 days, she's going somewhere.
Wow. She is going to be well-traveled, well-versed. That's cool. Good experiences that she can share with her students, to be sure. So anyway, Hawaii is on the horizon. The NBA and NHL are here, as is the NFL draft. I know there's been a lot of chatter about it, but I pride myself on the fact that I've not even looked at one mock draft. Not one. I'd rather be surprised.
I try to avoid them, but then I saw the headline I mentioned last week where it was, someone, I forgot whose it was, someone's latest mock draft, Jaguars will trade Trevor Lawrence to Bears for number one pick. And I'm like, what is this? What? Come on.
That's what's happening at this late stage. People are just coming up with clickbait and ways to I guess, get attention, because the mock drafts all, they kind of all blend together after a while. And so people are taking shots in the dark, stabs in the dark.
Why not, right?
Yeah, don't believe anything that you see or hear right now, because it's the last chance for these teams to run interference to, actually, it's not just the teams, it's the agents as well. They're trying to throw competitors off the scent for late trades or draft picks, that kind of stuff. Or at the very least, trying to cast a line, if you will, to use a fishing analogy, to see if they might get some information in return. It's a little bit of reverse psychology. All gamesmanship and strategery, if you will. So, yes, on Thursday night, maybe mention what's happening in the NBA and the NHL, though I haven't looked that far ahead in the schedule, to be perfectly honest, but we'll be focused. I'll be focused, and we will be focused here on the show primarily on the first round of the draft, because it'll have far more viewers and far more interest than anything that's happening in hoops and hockey. That's just how it is. In the United States of America, we agree on very little, but we agree on the NFL, even when it comes to the draft. So we'll get to that on Thursday, probably a pre-draft analyst between now and then. We're working on some other guests this week. One in particular that I don't want to mention her name, but it's a guest that we would be so thrilled to have. I've worked with her for a long time, but, well, worked in the same space as her for a long time. But it'd be great to have her from not just college hoops, but pro hoops as well. So working on that, but that's all I will say. And we're going to get to some hockey this hour too. But for those of you who pay attention to golf, the story of Scottie Scheffler is a really impressive one. He's working on a fourth win in five tournaments, and that includes the Masters, of course. Also about to be a dad again. But right now, people call him automatic, dominant, steady, all of those things. Relatively vanilla, though. And that's not a knock on Scottie Scheffler. He is as good as he is because he's as steady as he is. But I think men's golf is suffering a bit because more people know Caitlin Clark right now than know Scottie Scheffler. If Scottie walked down the street in New York, he would be incognito for the majority of people who would walk by him. There's not a lot of face recognition there. And the personality is not extremely charismatic. Not, again, not that he isn't a good dude, an amazing golfer. But he's not a guy who is going to give you a quote or get super animated, even when he's on the golf course. When you think about the best athletes in the world who are also charismatic, and those are the ones that become household names. For instance, Steph Curry. I mean, he's one of the best the NBA has ever seen. Certainly the best three-point shooter the NBA has ever seen. And he's got a personality to go along with it. A smile, a family that he loves to talk about, a history. He's animated on the court. And people are so attracted to him for all of those reasons. Tiger Woods, I wouldn't say his personality was charismatic, maybe a little more now so, but on the golf course, you didn't want to miss anything that happened with Tiger. Everything he did was a talking point. The way that he stalked his prey, the way that he stalked his putts, but also how fired up he got. People were really drawn to that. Even though away from the golf course, he didn't want to give us much. Now, he speaks more openly now, but not then. but there was that charismatic, attractive element to his game. I mean, who else?
Mahomes.
Oh, Patrick Mahomes. Yeah, great. And actually, that leads me right into my next athlete after Pat. But sure, he's got a unique voice. He's funny. He's got other interests outside of football. And people are just drawn to him because of his personality in many reasons. Not just because of who we see on the field, but who we hear from off the field. And I like the fact that he's a relatively open book as well about most things. Being a dad, being a husband, he is so complimentary of the people around him. And he manages to come across relatively humble. I'm sure he's got a big ego, but he still comes across when he speaks with humility. Now, here's the 6 degrees of separation. Patrick Mahomes and Nelly Korda are both T-Mobile athletes, meaning they're both endorsed by and have endorsement deals with T-Mobile. How many people out there know who Nelly Korda is? Well, if you don't, you should get to know her. Because as I was saying about Scottie Scheffler, right now we've got these two golfers who are dominating their sports. And Nelly's an incredible story, too. And actually, her sister is also a championship golfer, but is taking time away right now after she had a baby. So Nelly's an auntie as well. They are the daughters of former Australian Open champion Peter Korda, if you know that name from tennis. It's so neat, actually. One of the things that I really enjoy about having been in this business for a long time is that I remember some of the athletes and how they played. And now they've got offspring. Sometimes they're siblings too, who are competing in those same sports or different sports, but are competing as pro athletes. Like Marvin Harrison, I'm fascinated by the fact that I watched him play and loved watching him at Syracuse and then on to the Indianapolis Colts. He's a Hall of Famer, and now his son is about to be a pro football player. I love that.
Vlad Guerrero was one for me. That was like, oh, wow, yes. I love Vlad Guerrero growing up, and now his son's playing.
Absolutely, and I think for some people, it could be Del Curry, Steph Curry, though I don't remember watching Del play, but that's also a tie that people love. Or how about Mahomes? His father was a pro baseball. He was a pitcher, right?
He was a pitcher, yeah.
And so you've got a bunch of those kind of fun storylines and ties that people who are old like me remember watching these other athletes, and now their kids are playing. But yeah, you're right. It's and even like grandson in the case of Yastrzemski, right? Anyway. So Nelly Korda is the daughter of a former pro athlete herself. Though she plays golf, he played tennis. And so you may know the name for that reason, but maybe not Nelly. Not her name, not her face. She was out of pro golf for a stretch in 22 because she had a blood clot that needed surgery. Reminded me a little bit of, was it Venus Williams? Who had blood clots. Serena, too, also had a health scare after she had her baby. But it kind of reminded me of that situation with Venus, where she had to deal with a major health scare that actually was life-threatening. And in the case of Nelly, she was out of the game for quite a while. And we had seen flashes of how good she could be before that. She had won a major championship before that at the Women's PGA. But now that she's fully healthy, she has ascended to stratospheric levels in pro golf. At the Woodlands, this is Texas, north of Houston. I've been there. Actually, that's where I bought my wedding dress, in the Woodlands, Texas. So I'll forever be tied to the Woodlands. The Woodlands hosts one of the LPGA majors. It's called the Chevron Championship. And it was her fifth win in a row. Second major title, but the first one since she became fully healthy. Fifth win in a row, which has only been accomplished two other times in women's golf. Nancy Lopez, who was a Hall of Famer from the late 70s, well, from the 70s, but she did it in the late 70s. And then, of course, you know the name Annika Sörenstam, who is a Hall of Famer before she retired from the game of golf. Hers goes back 20 years now. Only players ever to win five consecutive LPGA events.
Been a crazy, crazy, crazy couple of weeks with some really solid golf, and I can finally breathe. I was really nervous on that back nine. I really, really wanted this win, and it feels amazing to get it.
Good for her. She's also a great personality, too, so I hope more people get to know her. Her game is phenomenal. She nearly aced a hole on Sunday, but she's also a great interview, and I've been fascinated by her and her sister, who, as I say, has won multiple events on the LPGA Tour as well. They both compete for Team USA, so if you're, I don't know about the Olympics, but if you are into maybe golf as an Olympic sport, or you just support some of these athletes in the Olympics, in international tournaments, well, she and her sister have both played for Team USA. Now, she had a lot of people saying she'll never come back and be the golfer that she was. She is the number one player in the world, and this is her second major win, and that probably explains why she wanted it so badly. But there are a lot of people saying not only would she not come back to the level at which she had played, but maybe she shouldn't even try. And she admits that wasn't a concern of hers while she was trying to get healthy.
A lot of doubt crept into my mind in 2022 and especially 2023. You know, I heard some outside voices from other people saying that, you know, they don't know if I'll ever be able to win another major again. And I stuck to working extremely hard on and off the golf course. And I'm so thankful to have the team that I do.
Five wins in a row. That's hard to do in golf. It's really hard to do in most sports, but in golf, where it's just you and the caddy out there on the course, and where the conditions can change so dramatically over the course of a tournament, but also where there's so many good players, and it's not just you against one opponent, but it's you against the field, and it's also you against the course. I mean, golf is really difficult to dominate in, which is why we were always so mesmerized by Tiger Woods and what he did. But even you look at the men's game right now, outside of Scottie Scheffler, before Scottie really got to this point, it seemed like it was a different guy winning every single week. And the fact that Nelly's American too, I mean, there's kind of been a void when it comes to women's athletes, or, you know, women's tennis, women's golf, where you've got a player, an athlete in an individual sport who becomes a household name. So I really hope that Nelly, that her game and the fact that her dominance has now reached, you know, record tying levels of five in a row, that people get to know her a little bit more. And yeah, just the story and how she's kind of come back from what she thought could have been career threatening, and that she couldn't have envisioned winning five straight tournaments back when she was dealing with the surgery and the health concerns.
Back then, no, because obviously then I was just more scared for my health, other than competing was kind of on the backseat. I was not thinking about competing at all. But I think all of the sad times and the health scares that I have gone through have made me who I am today.
That's neat. I love it when you hear that from humans, forget pro athletes, but humans who will say, everything I went through is part of who I am today. I can certainly say that as a radio host, as a new wife. Everything I went through in my life prepared me to be where I am right now. So I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason, not necessarily that you need to be excited about all the tough challenges and the health scares and losing people, but everything is part of your story and my story, and it changes us. It helps us grow. It helps us have wisdom and depth and different perception and perspective that not only would we have never had otherwise, but then we can turn around and share with other people, because, right, nothing that we go through is unique on this planet. So there are always humans that are going through the same things that we're going through, maybe not at the same time. But if we can take our tough experiences like Nelly here and inspire others because of the fact that she's ascended back to the number one ranking and five consecutive wins after what she's gone through. But really, think about Derek Lively losing his mom. He's not the first pro athlete who's ever lost a family member, someone who raised him and is in the spotlight where you really can't grieve privately as much, especially not this time of the year. And yet he can inspire others who are maybe going through that same thing where, you know, they're facing the loss of a parent after a long battle with cancer. So I appreciate that as humans, we can offer that to other people after we've come through the worst of the worst and have emerged the other side, whether it's the light, whether it's finding joy and peace again, whatever that is. And so for Nelly, that story I'm sure resonates with a lot of people. Even if you don't play pro golf, how about you just have the ability to get out and play a round of golf on the weekends? And that can inspire you after what she went through. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Oh, by the way, it's Scottie Scheffler's first child with his wife, so that's really significant. But he's going to have to finish up his round at the RBC on Monday. So we'll see whether or not he can win his fourth tournament in five starts. On our Facebook page, too. After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I still want to get to some NHL and also that game between the Knicks and the Sixers that was so delicious on Saturday late afternoon. It's After Hours here on Oh my gosh, 12 years of this. So ingrained. It's After Hours on the Infinity Sports Network.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
If you've listened to me long enough, you may have heard me say that I do sports-free Fridays. So usually when I wake up on Friday afternoon, I try to get up earlier on Friday afternoon and I either run errands or do work around the house. Just try to take advantage of a few hours before I completely run out of energy, if that makes sense. And then Bob and I usually try to do a date night on Friday. And we had a dinner at our local Irish restaurant. I love Irish food, Irish pub. That soda bread, oh my gosh, it could be the death of me. Anyway, we had dinner with some friends of ours who live in the neighborhood who came to the wedding. Anyway, that was Friday. But I also rearranged my entire afternoon schedule to accommodate a student. Okay, so I had to get up earlier than I was planning to. I had to move another phone call. I was waiting on yard work for this student to call because we had set up this hour so that I could give him the Cliff Notes version of a class he missed. Okay, so I teach what is a 4-week class at Syracuse. It's called The Art of Sports Talk Radio. It's relatively packed because not only do I present as much as I can, as in-depth as I can, the principles of building a sports talk radio show that will stand out in a crowded market. That's really the premise. But they also have two assignments, each of them, that they have to present in class. And I had 9 students last year, but I have 12 this year. And so it's a lot. I mean, we've got to be on point when it comes to time management, or I have to be on point. Anyway, this one student, he's a grad student, okay? So not a freshman who's got the doe-eyed look. No, he's a grad student who missed the first class and said to me, now I didn't hear from him before the class. I didn't hear from him until the Wednesday after the first class. Oh, I misread the schedule. Okay, granted, things happen. Okay. I've missed planes before because I misread the time, but this is springtime. He's been there at the, you know, on campus and there at the school now for months. Misread the time and date of the class. And so he missed it. Now, I don't know if I believe him or not, but it's okay. I don't need to believe him to know that he missed class. It's kind of like how the NFL views PED violations. I don't care why it happened. It may have been an accident, but it's your job to know. So it's the student's job to know when the class is. It's not my fault that you misread it. I maybe have empathy for you, but it doesn't mean you can get full credit for a class you didn't attend. And 40% of their grade is the weekly assignments, not just doing them, but presenting them. So he writes me an email and he says, I'm so sorry. I missed the first class. I misread my schedule. Can I have my assignments done by Friday? So not only did he misread the times, miss the class and the lecture that was in the class, he missed presenting his own assignments, his fellow students presenting their assignments. And I do require them to offer feedback and to communicate with one another about their assignments. It's a radio class. They need to be talking. So then he says, can I have my assignments to you by Friday? Meaning he didn't have them done, even when he reached out. Now, they've known for a whole week before the class started what the assignments were, because I give them a week to do each of the assignments. So online, the assignments were posted a week before the class started. So now we're talking about essentially 2 weeks, assignments aren't done. 40% of your grade. 20% of your grade is attendance and participation. So that's 60% of your grade. If I divide that by four classes, that's a major hit. In other words, he cannot get an A if I don't give him any credit for the first class or the first assignments. So anyway, I have another student, by the way, who's missing because he's going to a charitable event, and I also didn't want to dock him completely. So here's what I came up with. I'll give you time during my office hours, and if you get on the phone with me, I'll go through all my notes from the class you missed. I mean, quickly, you're not going to get the full version, but I'll go through all my notes and you can present your assignments to me on the phone. Now, you won't get the full credit because they weren't in class. You weren't there to listen to everyone else's assignments, but I'll give you 75% of credit for that class. So the first time we scheduled it was Thursday evening. He calls me. Well, first he texts me and he's like, hey, I'm on my way to take my girlfriend out to dinner for her birthday. Can we talk now? And I'm like, what? And so I said to him, I don't think this is the right time if you're going out with your girlfriend for her birthday. He calls me. Oh, I'm stuck in traffic. We can talk now if you want. No, actually, I don't think you understand. This is an hour where I need your full attention.
If you want?
If you want credit. Yeah, exactly. Not if I want, but if you right. want credit for the class. This is a 22-year-old grad student. If you want credit for the class, you need to sit and take some notes or pretend like you are, listen to my presentation. And I said to him, you need to present your assignments to me because that's part of your grade. Oh, well, can I tell you what they're about right now? Well, no, because you're going to a concert you're going to somewhere for your girlfriend's birthday. And he said, okay, what about tomorrow? Jay, we went through the various openings that I had. So he was open in the morning, but I said, I'm going to be sleeping. How about early afternoon? I mean, I was going to be awake and I was going to be ready and I was going to teach him for an hour in the afternoon when normally I would not be working. So we set it up. He tells me I have class from 2:15 to 3:15. Great. How about we do 3:45 on Friday? You call me. I will listen to your assignments. I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of the notes and I will give you 75% of the grade for the class, which means you could still get an A if you do everything else, right? Okay. I actually rearranged my schedule, as I said before. I get off the phone with another friend of mine. We had previously scheduled a phone call, so I rearranged that. I put off yard work, and I wait. 3:30 comes and goes. I don't get a text. I'm like, all right, it's fine. No big deal. 3:40, nothing. 3:45, nothing. 3:50, 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30. 4:45. And at this point, as I say, my husband and I we need to do some yard work because we're going to get ready to go out to dinner with some friends. So I left the house inside. I went out, did the yard work, mowed the lawn. Great. Come back in. No text, no nothing. Friday night comes and goes. Saturday comes and goes. Sunday comes and goes. Not a damn word from the student.
Still nothing?
No. Class is, oh gosh, just over 12 hours from now. And what are the chances he shows up?
Oh, he can't.
And gives me another excuse about how he got stuck in a hurricane. I don't know.
No.
How he locked himself out of his apartment. How much do you want to bet he's going to give me some lame excuse? But here's the deal. Not a phone call to apologize. Not a text message to let me know his lame excuse at any point. If he shows up at class on Monday, 72 hours after this is, he blew me off of the phone call, I'm going to have a really hard time not letting him have it in front of the other students.
I think you have grounds.
No, but maybe I do, but I don't want to be that kind of professor.
No, I get you.
This is the same dude who raised his hand in class at the end. So he missed the first class. He's sitting in the second class. He presents his second assignment. And then a couple minutes after that, like another student went and he raised his hand. He's like, hey, not that I'm going to do this, but can I leave after I present my assignment? Or can we leave after we present our assignment? And it was all I could do not to say, you missed the first class. I wouldn't be asking that if I were you.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the director has said to me, don't give him any credit. None. Which would mean he couldn't do better than a C. He's a grad student. If I got a C when I was in grad school, I would be mortified. I mean, I only got one C in my life ever, but I would be mortified if in grad school, when really all the professors are trying to give you A's, like that's not what you're in grad school for, is grades. You're there for experience, for hands-on, for instructional learning. You're there to get your comp exams and get the heck out and have your diploma, right?
As a grad student, he should know that what you were doing for him was so above and beyond what most professors would do for their student.
The director said, don't even try.
Would just say, no, sorry, you missed the class. You fail. Have a good day.
That's what she said. She was like,
most of them.
She said, he's full of it. There's no way he misread the schedule. He just skipped the class.
Of course not. I've used that one. No.
I forgot. This is Jay's wheelhouse. Anyway, so I'm flabbergasted. Not that I would use that word. I am blown away that he didn't even have the nerve to say, I'm sorry,
he
I missed it.
He can't show up. He can. What's he going to say at this point? It's over. You gave him an out, really, essentially, for missing class, for not doing the assignments. You said, okay, fine, like just do this 1 hour with me. Your gesture to him was so amazing as a professor.
Though, here's what I'm worried about. Do you know how students now critique and rate professors? What if he gives me a really bad, well, I can't
worry
about that.
You could respond to that.
That's true. And my director will already know. It's not like his complaint is going to cause the school not to invite me back. But, you know, word of mouth is how a lot of students find out about a class, right? So, but I can't worry about that.
If he tells the story the way it's supposed to be told, he'll look like the idiot every single time at the end of it.
But would he? He won't, obviously. No, he won't. No, I mean, he won't tell the story accurately.
Probably not. But the report card will have the grade on it.
Are you kidding me? You have four classes. I gave you a way to make up the one you missed, and then you just blow me off and don't even reach out to let me know.
As a grad student, too.
I got ghosted by a student. Are you kidding me?
That's horrible. That's a really bad job out of that student.
I know. I hope he is listening to the show. He did. Oh, here's the icing on the cake. He came to the show last Monday night on campus and said to me, I really want to develop a relationship with you. I'd like you to mentor me. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe there's hope for this guy yet. Not so much now. So I'm going to have to be very measured and careful in my response to him because, you know me, sarcasm is my love language.
Do you think he's going to show up?
Oh, I think he's going to an excuse.
You think he's going to reach out before class around, like, I don't know, 5 o'clock Eastern? Or
you mean like 15 minutes before
15 minutes
the class
before,
starts?
Yeah. Like, oh, hey, sorry. Like, I'll see you soon. But
Oh, I won't respond. At this point, I will not be responding to any text messages. He was on his way to his girlfriend's birthday dinner and thought that was when we were going to do class.
She's got to come with flowers for you or something.
No, that food is not going to work.
He owes you something.
No, even food is not going to work. This is not one of those bring food for the teacher and brown nose and get a better grade.
Oh, that's just a start. That's just so you don't kick him out. Kick him in the ass on the way out.
And I was doing so well. All right. On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. Good to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Robinson screens. Oubre steals it. Oubre steals it from Brunson. He drives down the court. He gets it into Maxey. Maxey layup up and good. Kelly Oubre steals it from Brunson. And the Sixers get a layup. 2.5 to go. Maxey with it. Maxey with Robinson. Here's a deep three by Maxey. It's good. Tyrese Maxey nails a three.
Embiid taps it back and it's taken by Maxey. 14 seconds on the shot clock. Sixers down six. Maxey right side of the arc. Fires a three over Robinson and knocks it down, and it's a three-point game. Brunson is bottled up, bounce pass McBride between the circles. 8 seconds to shoot. Oubre's guarding Brunson. McBride has the ball. Hart on the right wing. One dribble, fires a contested three-pointer. It's good! Knicks back up by seven. 60 seconds to play.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This was a fun game between the Knicks and the Sixers. I really enjoyed it. And I know Joel Embiid missed some time in the second quarter, looked like he may have retweaked his knee. And then also we were without Julius Randle, who's out the rest of the way for the Knicks. So you're missing a couple of guys or Joel Embiid at full strength, but still really entertaining game and one that went back and forth down the stretch on Saturday, late afternoon, early evening. The Josh Hart threes and his presence late in the fourth quarter, the last 4 minutes, enormous. Had a big defensive play in there as well. And then even with Jalen Brunson not shooting like what we're used to, he was 8 of 26 from the floor. He's obviously going to get the bulk of attention from any of the opposing defenses because of how critical he is. Everything with the offense runs through him, as it should. He's taken that offense since he was traded from Dallas to New York. He's taken that offense, and with Tom Thibodeau, really they've created it around, or shaped it, I should say, around his skills. And he has become so much more confident being the man in New York, or really anywhere, just being the man in the franchise as opposed to playing second fiddle or running as a, you know, a sidekick along with Luka. The fact that he's the number one option and that he's kind of in charge, we've really seen him blossom as a point guard, not just as a scorer, but one who sets up his teammates. So he didn't shoot well, but he and Josh Hart know each other so well, and you can see that chemistry out there on the court. And it was a lot of fun to watch the two of them and then to see the Garden erupt with all the big shots.
Deuce was a plus 37, Bogey was a plus 27, Mitch was a plus 20. Like, they were the reason why we won the game. So when your top dog's not playing well and not shooting well, I won't say playing well, not shooting well, you can need other guys to, you know, pick it up for him, and that's what we did.
I got to be better. I can't speed up. I just got to be myself and slow down a little bit. But you got to give him a lot of credit. But I think made a couple key plays where our teammates just made big shots.
The calls there on the Sixers and Knicks radio networks. And I thought that the Sixers were game, even though it looked like Joel Embiid was really tired, kind of laboring a bit. And that's to be expected, still trying to get back into basketball shape. But Tyrese Maxey hit some huge shots. Thought it was pretty funny to, funny, not haha, but just perspective, right? The perspective itself is humorous. Tyrese Maxey only has 33 points, and Miles McBride is talking about how what they really want to do is limit him, and that was what he's most proud of in this game one.
Just trying to be disruptive, I think, just trying to be as physical I can with him. Obviously, he's a talented player, but, you know, having an anchor like Mitch in the back and Isaiah just makes it a lot easier.
So 22 points each for Jalen and Josh Hart. And then Miles McBride, he's out there 28 minutes, and he's really out there for defense primarily on Tyrese and making life difficult for him, but he also has 21 off the bench. Now, the big concern for the Sixers is Joel Embiid's health, and yeah, a little bit disconcerting to see him leave for a while in the second quarter.
I knew when I went in at halftime that they were checking him out and that he was up and moving, and they did say, you know, we're seeing. Like, they didn't rule him out yet, so they were just took him kind of all the way to the end there to get him ruled back in or ruled in or allow him to play, whatever it is.
Just whatever. Just let me know when he's available. Nick Nurse. And Embiid had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists, even though, as I say, he was out of gas at the end. And I hope he wasn't in pain. He just looked like the intensity and the physical nature it wore on him. And remember, the Sixers had to come through the play-in tournament, so they've already had an extra game, and he's just getting back into rhythm. But this was a fun back and forth. These two teams know each other well, obviously, from the regular season. And one major advantage that the Knicks have is their ability to dominate the rebounds if that's what they choose to do.
Man, it was a real life battle in there. And they kicked our butts on the glass. They did their job. They executed their game plan and what they've been doing all season. I think they're the number one offensive rebounding team in the league. And they did their job tonight. They executed their game plan, and they won a game.
Well, and if the Knicks can beat you with guys like Deuce McBride, that's not a knock on Deuce. Just he's a backup point guard for Jalen Brunson. If they can beat you with guys like Bojan Bogdanovic, if they can beat you with guys like, Dante DiVincenzo's had a great second half. But if they can beat you with guys like that, well, then you're talking about the depth of a team that – even if you don't know about the star power, or even if the Knicks are missing the star power, they run a lot deeper. And that's one of the things that has helped them to get the number two seed in the East. And yeah, the edge on the boards, 55-33, as you hear Kyle Lowry talk about. So I like what we saw from the Knicks. I think that the Madison Square Garden atmosphere is one of the best when the Knicks are good, and it's been spotty, right? That Knicks fan base wants to be excited about a winner, but it's been such a slow burn with Tom Thibodeau, of course, trying to get guys who would make either the free agent commitment to the Knicks, or they've had some really bad drafts, right, where they've had to recover from those and then trade those guys away like Kristaps Porzingis. But it's their own fault, right? They've selected poorly. They've been in the dumpers again, to use Dan Campbell's quote. But now they're coming out of it, and the fan base is fired up about it, which is fun to see. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.